The number one marketing strategy you need in today's business climate is networking. Word of mouth and referral marketing is the most powerful way to grow your business. But for many, just the idea of networking causes anxiety, frustration, and perhaps a little fear. The Once Timid Networker radio show will get you through these networking challenges by providing tips, suggestions, and real-life success stories of other business professionals who got out of their own way and learned to love networking. Now, here's your host, the original Once Timid Networker, Tara Schmeichel.
Welcome to the show today, and thank you for taking time to tune in. I always appreciate having listening ears on the other end of this program, so thank you once again. The purpose for this radio program, as was mentioned in our intro, is to provide up-to-date resources for learning how to network skillfully, but also how to get out of our own way, like we said. So let me explain. When I was a timid networker, there were times that I did just fine, and I could present myself in the way that I wanted to. However, there were other times when I got myself so nervous that I was unable to speak loud enough, or I had to keep clearing my throat because my nerves would, you know, ball up in my throat, or I would be shaking so much that my voice would also quiver. Has that ever happened to you? Have you ever witnessed it happen to somebody else? It makes you feel a little uncomfortable, and sometimes when you're listening, you don't hear what they're saying. You're too busy thinking, oh, I hope they're okay. And I know that that's how a lot of people reacted to mine when I was doing that. So how about this scenario? Say you're at an event and the person that you're talking to across the table is so quiet that you have to strain to hear them. And then you say, you know, pardon me, could you repeat that? Excuse me. But after a while, you've got a neck ache because you're straining so hard to hear. And you don't want to embarrass them or yourself by asking again, and then their message becomes lost. I was also at an event recently where the presenters were so excited, and their message was fantastic. And the things that they were saying were really interesting. However, it felt like they were yelling at us, at the whole audience. In fact, a friend who was at the same event mentioned to me later, you know, wow, I felt like I was yelled at for the last hour and a half. Now, I'm sure that that's not the voice that our speaker was trying to put forth. He was just excited. The thing is that whatever we do, if it involves somebody else, sometimes even if it doesn't, we're using our voices. And the question is it our best voice? And if it's not, how do we find that? Our guest today, Barbara McAfee, author of Full Voice, The Art and Practice of Vocal Presence, is going to be our expert today. And I'm very excited to have her because this is something I've always been curious about. She is the author, like I said, of The Full Voice, but also she is a speaker, a singer, a songwriter, as well as a voice coach. And I'm thrilled for you to meet her today. Barbara, welcome to our show.
Thank you so much, Tara. It's good to be here.
Thank you. I'm glad you're here. So let's start. First of all, tell me how a person got started with what they're doing. Now, we've shared a little bit, but I'd really like to know, how did you become this person who is a voice expert?
Well, I was a once timid singer, Tara.
I get that.
Yes, I was a very timid person. I'm 6'2", so it's kind of hard to disappear, but I did my very best at trying to do that. And I was a choir singer. I was a person who liked to blend into the group, and I still like that. Mm-hmm. And life presented me with an opportunity to become a soloist, and that was so terrifying that it got me curious about why I was terrified, and that led me on a long quest of really discovering my own voice, literally as a singer and then later as a speaker, as a business person, and now as an author. Through really letting go of being perfect, being willing to be seen and heard, playing instead of working at it,
yeah.
And really learning how to get out of your own way is what you said in your intro, is to really allow my voice to come out instead of trying to force it to come out. So I'm constantly astonished at how easy sounding good can be.
I'm
so it took
so
me all over.
To hear
I
what you have to
studied
say.
In studied in France and here in town, and it was a very long sojourn.
Interesting. So now, did you have any timid moments along the way? I always like to ask that.
Yeah, when I was first singing in public, I was singing jazz at the beautiful St. James Hotel in Red Wing, Minnesota, mm-hmm. with some mm-hmm. friends of mine. And I would shake and sweat and have the, you know, panic before and during and the shame that's after. You know, like, oh, I can't believe it.
Yeah.
Oh. and then also just in speaking, in my speaking career, standing up there and having my mind go completely blank. Mm. And what's ironic is when I would be speaking or singing and my mind would go completely blank, I got very adept at just not taking it so seriously, and I've gotten so many compliments about how I goof up because I don't, it's not a big deal. I just say, oh, let me try that again, or quite ironic that that's become a strength of staying relaxed while I fall on my face.
I think that's something very interesting that you say that, because there is something to be said for, you know, many people who are listening are perfectionists and
yes.
or recovering perfectionists, I like to call myself.
Mm-hmm.
But there are times when you do cling to that. It's not perfect. And then if it's not perfect, you've failed. And that's not necessarily the case. And I think that's one of the reasons why some of the things that we like to watch on TV that are live, we enjoy them, or when we're at a performance and we see that little, that thing that's not perfect, we tend
yes.
to remember it in a good way. We enjoy that part. So I think that's really interesting that you're saying that.
It is, and I think we're, it's a sign of our humanity to be
mm-hmm.
Vulnerable. And I know that the more I learn about the voice, it's about being authentic and mm-hmm. vulnerable and being exactly who you are. More of who you are, not trying to get the absolute perfect sound. And a lot of voice training and presentation training is organized around really perfecting something. And I kind of start at the opposite end and say, let's see how messy we can get. Let's see how much sound we can find. And then you have a broader palette to choose from. And it's a lot more fun.
I love that. So, okay. I would like to get into, because I think we have a lot of really interesting things to share, and I know I have so many questions. So if we could kind of start with, tell me, first of all, when you start working with a client, where do you start? You know, I think of Sound of Music. Where, you know, let's start at the beginning. Where is the first place to start when it comes to something like this?
My first question is always, what is your story about your voice?
Mm-hmm.
And the answers to that question run the gamut from, you know, I've heard 1,000 stories or more of the person who was told not to sing when they were 8 and they never sang again, or the person who has judgments about their voice sounding funny on voicemail. Well, guess what? Everybody does. Or I can't hear myself. I was in a really bad relationship for a long time, and I kind of lost my connection to myself, my own inner voice. And it's all over the map, from the physical, emotional, mental, spiritual, everything.
Interesting.
And then from there, we just step into exploring all the colors that are available to this person in their voice. And I use a framework for that I cooked up over 25 years of listening to voices, starting with my own. That really helps people kind of break their voice into colors like a prism breaks light into a rainbow. There's different stripes or different
yeah.
sounds that we can all access. And I use that as sort of a way to look at what parts of your voice are alive and accessible and what parts of your voice are maybe a little sleepy or less practiced.
Interesting. So now, how does that go with the rainbow spectrum or the prism? Is it like, you know, we all know the, you know, Roy G. Biv, or
yeah,
how the colors go. Is that
I did use Roy G. Biv. I used 5 elements. I used earth, fire, water, metal, and air to describe these different vocal qualities. And I'll just give you a little sample of each one. So the earth voice is kind of connected to your hips and legs and your butt. You know, it's sort of a grounded sound.
And it's, you know, it's Johnny Cash.
Okay.
And, you know, it's that really deep, dark sound. And then the fire is, I always use Luciano Pavarotti for that one. It's the dun, da, 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 you know, here I am, I'm big, I'm beautiful, I'm a passionate orator. It's all about passion and fire and creativity. And then the water voice, I always use Julia Child. You know, it's this warm, rich, lovely sound. You know, it's more
the
sound of comfort and affirmation. You know, when you hear somebody say good job to somebody, they usually don't say good job. They say, oh, that's great, good work. Well, that's your water voice.
Okay.
And then the metal is this really bright sound, which is, we hear a lot here in Minnesota.
Yes, we do.
And all by itself, it's terrible. But if you can't be heard, as you were talking about in your introduction, if you can't be heard, it's your best friend. So it's I always use a cat to describe that or exaggerate that one. Meow! You know, it's that nasal sound. Or the Wicked Witch of the West is also a good one.
Oh,
excuse my pretty. You know,
okay.
That's pure metal. And it's by itself, it's terrible. As most of these are all terrible by themselves.
Yeah.
But it's nice. It's like you don't eat a big bowl of basil either. You'd use it to cook with, right?
Right, right.
So, and then the last one, we've had earth, fire, water, metal, and now air, you know, which is a lot how people talk to babies.
Yes.
So I often have people saying, hi, hi, baby, hi. Mm-hmm. Now, not a great voice to use in most business settings or in many other settings.
With more
but I have to say, there's a place for each of these in relationships. The air voice is great for telling stories or painting a picture. You know, like, I have this idea.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's exciting. People kind of feel that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the five, and people get acquainted with all five and practice all five. And then when it comes to communicating, networking, you can talk to more people about more things more effectively, which is what I'm interested in. And then you listen to people differently as well. You're not just getting the words, you're listening to what's underneath them, which makes you a much better networker as well, because you're listening more deeply and asking smarter questions.
Right. And you can be able to understand maybe where they're coming from by these different colors. Is that kind of, am I understanding that correctly? Okay.
Yes, and it's not a perfect system. Every once in a while, people's voices don't reflect their gifts and qualities. You know, there's the really, really brilliant and powerful woman who talks like she's 12.
Uh-huh.
You've met her, you know.
Yes, yes.
And she's a powerhouse, but, you know, every once in a while, we get stuck somewhere. But by and large, I'm hoping that people don't use this model to judge people. I just want it to make them ask better questions and get more curious. Yeah.
Yeah, because there's always an exception. And, you know, yeah, I'm totally about that. Okay, so then I'm dying to know, when is there a good reason to use your metal voice?
Ha-ha. Well, if you're that person who can't be heard, it's your best friend. So, for instance, when I'm in a crowded room, if I'm presenting at a conference, a lot of times I'll choose not to use their really bad amplification system.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm, you know, I got 55 people in a room and they're all standing up, and this is how I do my work, you know, they're all standing up pretending to be Luciano Pavarotti.
Yeah.
I need to get my voice up and over them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'll bring a little of the metal in. I'll bring it up and more forward. Now, you know, and I also use this with my mother, who's hard of hearing.
Okay.
You just kind of bring it up into your nose, and that's kind of like the cayenne in the spice rack. You don't use a lot of it, but boy, if you have a hard time being heard, it's your best friend.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so when I'm listening and I hear these different colors, how do I respond to them? What does this help me to do? Because now I'm like, oh, my gosh, I want to know how to do this. I'm fascinated.
Well,
this
I think one of the biggest
Roy
things
Smith,
is,
you know?
is to start with yourself. I think the more intimate you get with your own voice, the more attuned you become to other people's voices. So I often say, start with you first. Get more acquainted with all of your five colors. a lot of times I'll have people do these exercises. They're all on a website, so there are the little videos for each of the five at fullvoice.net, so people can go out there and rummage around and get reminders of what the earth voice sounds like or the metal voice sounds like and kind of practice waking them all up. That's the first step, and then I also have people sing as a way to sort of bring it back closer to home so you're not walking around talking like a Neanderthal or a Siamese cat. There's just different ways to not become a great singer, but just to sort of bring it one step closer to your everyday speech.
Hmm.
After you practice with the five elements and some singing, you just become more attuned to your own voice, and it kind of naturally unfolds that you notice other people's. I think you can, if you start focusing on others too soon, you might be coming at it more from your head and less from your own experience of your own voice. Does that make sense?
Absolutely, absolutely. Okay, so then, oh man, I have so many questions. So let's go from so we've talked about, find first of all, the story of your voice. This is what you do when you talk with somebody. You find the story of their voice, why they have the feelings they do. You explore the colors of their voice, and whether it's earth, fire, water, metal, and air, and you do exercises with them and singing with them.
Mm-hmm.
Am I good so far? Okay.
Yeah. And then sometimes I work with poetry as a way to bring it back even closer to speaking. So
okay.
The five elements is about sound. It kind of takes your voice on beyond zebra, you know, on beyond singing. It's just
yeah.
sound. Then the singing is sort of the next step back towards regular speech. And then sometimes we use poetry because that's between singing and speaking.
Okay.
And then I actually work directly with people on their pitch or their speech or their presentations. I actually do coaching directly about the actual thing they're delivering. And that's, I love that work too. Sometimes it's nicer to start with just opening up the voice without having to focus it down too soon.
Okay.
On the actually deliver. A lot of it, you know, I've worked with political candidates and, you know, if you're under the gun, you know,
mm-hmm.
or people who are making speeches in a couple of weeks, and when you're under the gun, we just go.
Okay,
know, we just
right.
do that. But in the
right.
optimal setting, we like to start with the biggest expression and bring it back into everyday speech so people are familiar with how to access these colors. And, you know, most of us work talk with several at a time. I'm mostly fire and water and earth, you know, and it used to just be earth. I used to hide out down here so nobody
uh-huh.
would notice. No one would notice the 6'2" towering
yeah.
inferno, right, that I am. So
the things that we do to not be noticed.
I know, and everybody's walking around saying, pay attention to me, don't look at me, pay attention
yeah.
to me, don't look at me.
Right, right. So then I guess my next question is, where do we as listeners go from here? I mean, obviously, this is just a very nutshell version of what you help people with. But say we do have an event. Is there something that we could do that would help us to be, say we're the person who's very timid and we are not able to be heard. Is there a trick we could do that could get our voice ready so that we're not nervous? Or, and I don't know, is it the same thing if a person is quiet, as I know that, you know, your voice can be strained and so you have to start clearing your throat. Are those all the same kind of a thing, or am I totally off track here?
Well, the voice is so complicated. It's not just the sound you make. It's the story of your life. You know, it's the way that you've been wounded. It's your gifts. It's your strength. It's the only way from the inside of you to the outside of you. You know what I mean? So
mm-hmm. yeah.
when there's a limiter on it, sometimes it is like just a bad habit of how you breathe or how you use your voice. More often than not, it's something else. It's a story you're telling about yourself, or a belief that maybe is really old that you've outgrown. There's just so, I go through a lot of Kleenex in my practice.
Oh,
you know,
I'm sure.
People open up their voices and wow, off they go.
Yeah.
One
okay.
thing I would say though is, I think singing has a lot to offer, just as a simple thing, because it uses all the same muscles and infrastructure that speaking does. You know, it's your diaphragm, mm-hmm. your vocal cords, your lips, tongue, teeth, resonators in your face. All those things are the exact same things you use to talk with.
Mm-hmm.
It's just bigger. You just feed it more of your life force, more of your breath, and it's more continuous and it's kind of bigger. So I think it's really helpful, like if you're off to a networking meeting or something like that, if you have a playlist in your car, I call them irresistible playlists.
Yeah.
And if you're timid, you get Bonnie Raitt. You get people who belt, you know, Whitney Houston. You get people who are big, fiery, you know, singers, and you sing along with them and sort of infuse your own voice and body and breath with that kind of energy. I think that's going to help a lot. And it kind of gets you used to feeling more movement through your whole system. And it's the same stuff you use to actually talk.
Oh, that's so interesting.
But
I know that
one.
That is something that I have done for years. There was a show a long time ago called Ellie McBeal, and on the show, she talked about having a theme song. And before that show, when I've always had a theme song going on in my head. Well, then as I was going through this transition of becoming once timid, at different events, I had certain songs that I would play, and you're right, I would sing my heart out in my car, and then by the time I would get to the event, I felt very open, and I don't know how else to explain it except for I was just open. My voice somehow, you know, and I feel a little silly saying this to you because you're the professional, but I just felt so open, and it was much easier for me to be in the right mindset once I walked in. For some reason, it gave me confidence, and I'm by no means a good singer, but in my car, I'm a rock star, you know?
Everybody's a good singer in their car. And, you know, everybody's proud of how bad they are at singing. Do you ever hear people saying, you know, I'm a horrible parent? You know what I mean? It's just amazing how people are proud of how bad they are. And actually, you know what? People aren't that bad. And it doesn't surprise me at all that you felt more open. If you have to open to sing.
Yeah.
You know, you have to open up the channel from the deepest inside of you, the center of your body, out into the world. And if you can kind of, it's kind of a gross image, but I always think of it, singing is kind of like Roto-Rooter for your whole system. Just kind of
I see that.
Clears the whole thing out. And I think it's mentally, I don't know, we don't sing much in this culture, and we're very rare in, you know, all over the world, in every culture, people have sung individually, mostly sung together, and we don't do it much. We listen all the time, but we don't do it very much. And I think that's affecting our mental health.
That's interesting that you say that. I know I was talking with someone a long time ago, and they were saying that when they were feeling very sad or trying to stifle the feelings that they were having, as soon as they would start to sing, those feelings would open up, and it was kind of like opening the floodgates. And I'm wondering if that's part of it, is that we open ourselves up to all kinds of things when we start to sing and our guard comes down, and so that's very interesting. Cool.
That's terrifying and wonderful.
Exactly. So how do we get past that? I don't like my voice. I don't like, you know, how does a person get beyond that kind of a feeling and stop, you know, thinking of themselves in that way so that they can become comfortable? Is it just practice?
Well, I will send you this song. One of my favorite songs I've ever written is called Brain Rats.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about that junk in your head. And we're all waiting for the junk in our head to stop before we, like, live our lives or do the things we're most afraid of. And as you've figured out, I'm sure, it doesn't stop.
No.
You know, there's always a voice in your head saying, you stink, sit down. Who do you think you are? Somebody special. Yada, 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 yada. Well, I wrote a song called Brain Rats. And I think brain rats really like to be taken seriously and kept secret. And as soon as you laugh about them and make them public, they kind of lose their power. So I think that's one thing, is to just don't take these stories in your head so seriously. I mean, nobody likes their voice on voicemail because it's a totally different substance that's conducting the sound. When you hear your own voice in your head, it's being conducted through bone.
Mm-hmm.
And when you hear your voice out in the world or a recording, it's being conducted through air. So when you consider the difference in those materials, of course they're going to sound very different.
Right.
So part of it is to just, that particular thing, is when people hear a recording, I think it's an identity crisis because they they've identified with that sound in their head, and that's not how they're showing up. It's like looking in the mirror and seeing a different face. So I think it's actually mm-hmm. kind of a psychological thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing is, I think, being more playful with it, realizing you don't have a voice, you have a world of voices. You do not talk to your dog the same way you talk to your boss, the same way you talk to your beloved, the same way you yell at your kid. You don't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you change it all the time. And you do it mostly unconsciously and quite intelligently. So I think a lot of it is to just get out, this is a terrible pun, but get out of your own voice box.
Mm-hmm. That's okay. I say get out of your own way.
Exactly.
It's all the same kind of a thing, though, you know.
It is. Get over it. Just play
mm-hmm.
with it.
Yeah.
Don't take it so seriously and mess around with it.
I love that.
Experimenting.
So then is there, you know, we've talked about, you know, those five elements. Is there a right, do we, like you said before, we usually use them intelligently. If we are at an event and we tend to be the person who maybe we, I see multiple types of people at networking events, and there's the timid person. There's also the person who takes up the room. And I think you were saying they're all talking in their Pavarotti voice or their fire voice. Is that right?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. How does a timid person talk to that person and the other way around?
Well, I have to say, I don't think we are, I think we're more than our stories about ourselves. So if you got yourself as a timid person, you're not always timid in all circumstances. So first of all, there's a part of me that kind of goes, I've had people who talk really softly and practically peel the paint off my walls when they open up. So mm-hmm. It's a habit. It's
mm-hmm.
just a habit. So what I'm really interested in is giving people a bigger range. So I was with one of my former clients just now, and I talk about him in the book as the wall of sound. He mm-hmm. is the loudest man. He used to be a carpenter.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to get really loud when you're up, you know, banging nails and saws and stuff. And the guy, he has this huge voice. And it's so overwhelming. And what we worked with on him was to help him get the other callers to wake up.
Okay.
So I'd say if you're really loud, cultivate your water and air voice. If you're really soft, cultivate your fire and metal voice. And what happens is as you change your voice, your personality grows too. The qualities that are inherent in each of those sounds. Does that make sense? You know,
it makes perfect sense.
If you act more passionate, if you sound more passionate, you become more passionate.
Yeah.
If you sound more grounded, you feel more grounded, and you become more grounded.
Well,
so
it reminds
for me
of
about,
that.
Yeah.
It reminds me of that quote about "Be the change you want to see."
Yeah,
you know.
Exactly. Be the voice you want to be.
Yeah.
And it is kind of a. There's some kind of brilliance in it, but and it's such a physical thing. You literally embody the change that you want to be, and with singing and playing characters and stuff, you can have some fun as you do it. It's not slogging hip deep through your issues. You know what I
yeah.
mean?
Yeah.
You just kind of you play with it, and it,
mm-hmm.
for me, that's as a good hardworking German American Scots Irish Midwesterner, you know, I feel like.
Yeah.
Oh, you can actually grow and have a really great time while you do it.
Yeah.
How about that?
I like that. So then, as we are finding our own voices, is there anything that we can do for someone else as we're listening to them? After we've kind of, you know, like you said, start with yourself. And if we've, you know, we've got your book and we've watched your videos and maybe we've had you coach with us, is there a way that then that helps us in working with others?
I think it does. I've gotten very careful about talking to people about their voices. It's kind of like telling people they have body odor.
Mm-hmm.
People are so self-conscious about their voices and they just don't know what to do about it. So
mm-hmm.
I hear a lot of stories because I tell people I'm a singer and a voice coach, and then I kind of, the confessional kind of comes out, you know, and
yeah.
people are telling me their whole story about how the nun told them to shut up. And so I think it's a little hard to offer feedback to people about their voices without being really close and have a trusting relationship with them.
Okay.
Because, yeah, there's just a lot of shame. There's a lot of wounds in our voices. A lot of the culture is pretty effective at suppressing, like, most of our innate nature, like our loudness, our softness, our joy, our lightness. And everybody gets hurt in different ways, and that's okay. That's, you know, I don't think we're here to have perfect time of it. I think we get we learn a lot by getting our hearts broken, and then we heal.
Yeah.
But I do think it's a really touchy thing to just sort of say, gosh, you know, you sound like a cat.
Yeah. I was telling some friends that I was doing this show, and we happened to be at a networking event, and they said, you know who could really use that show is that so-and-so over there. And they were like, maybe you could talk to them. And I thought, I can't do that. I don't want to make them feel bad, you know, but I could suggest, hey, everybody, listen to the show, you know.
Right.
But
right.
So then if we're preparing ourselves for an event, and I know I am going back to the networking part, but if, say, we're going to something, whether it's a one-on-one meeting or a chamber event or a B&I chapter or even just a family reunion, we're going to be with other people, is there a best voice to use, or does it depend on the person we're talking to?
I think the biggest thing we're looking for in every circumstance, networking or family or community or work, is the connection. And when I got asked to do a presentation at a local bank here about diversity and inclusion, and it was like, yeah, you know, this is really about the ability to connect with more people about more stuff more effectively. So what you're really looking for when you're networking, I think, is what's the connection?
Mm-hmm.
How do we make a connection? And then what do we transmit across that connection?
Mm-hmm.
So for me, learning how to regulate and change my own voice and really listen deeply to other people helps me make better connections with a broader array of people. So with my mom, I need metal because she's hard of hearing.
Mm-hmm.
And in a group with a big, you know, in a big room with a lot of background noise, I bring in, you know, fire and metal because it carries better. When someone is weeping in my teaching student, my coaching studio, it's the water voice. Like, oh, yeah, I hear you. You know, there's an empathy. Mm-hmm. So to me, it's it really does depend on the nature of the event, the person you're talking to, the environment, because we live in a very noisy world.
Yeah.
And your intention. Are you interested in a heart connection? Are you interested in, do you need to back somebody off?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Need to really, like, project your authority. Well, if you need to project authority, Earth is going to be more dominant.
Okay.
So to me, I think it's just bringing your whole toolkit with you and seeing, you know, being clearer, always in the question of, well, where's the connection?
Mm-hmm.
How is it going? Where are they coming from? And how do I meet them? Where they're at.
Okay. So if I'm understanding you, are you suggesting that we almost match their voice?
Well, I've heard that common, you know, that common.
I've heard that too.
Is, you know, of almost mimicking someone. I do it because I can't help it. I have a musical ear, and I end up, you know, within 20 seconds of landing in Atlanta, I'm saying y'all.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think there's something to be said for that. There's a part of that that feels also kind of inauthentic and manipulative.
Yeah.
At some level. And I don't like that personally when that's coming at me. I can usually feel what I'm really interested in is the real person there.
Yeah.
And I find more often, more and more often, that the more I can just be who I am, really, who I am, in all of my aspects, and the more I know who I am, the more I can be who I am. That is where I can meet people, not in sort of doing a tap dance or looking snazzy or, you know, that kind of, hey, good to see you, you know, like, oh,
And
you
pistol fingers.
I got to go refresh my drink.
Yeah.
So to me, it's about really being more real and more present, really, like right there. And when you were talking about worrying so much about how you're showing up or how the other person is showing up, so much of this is just about, are you in your body? Are you connected to your breath? Are you in your heart? Are you seeing the other person really and enjoying them, really intrigued by them? Nobody can resist that.
Yeah. It's interesting that you say that, because that's something that has been a common thread throughout all of the shows that I've had, any person that I've interviewed about networking. It all comes back to the other person and being interested and engaged. And so I appreciate that, once again, that's been like, you know, that's come back here into this program as well. So
I always think if you just show up as a golden retriever, you'll just be fine.
Well, there you go. See?
You know, I mean,
life is
dogs
that easy,
are great.
You know?
It's like, who are you? Who are you? You smell good. I like you. Who are you? You want to play? You know, there's this sort of, and aliveness is at the heart of all the work I do. It's not about becoming a more skillful manipulator. It's about, how alive are you in this moment right now? And I find most people walk in the world half dead. So if you show up alive at all, like frisky and engaged and playful and alive, already you're most of the way there, because it's just so unusual.
I had heard somebody say one time, this was probably 20, 25 years ago, and I was having to do some phone work, and no, it was not telemarketing, but I was doing some phone work, and the person who was training me and said, okay, so before you start to make any of your calls, I want you to do like 25 jumping jacks, you know, and then make your calls, because you're going to be excited and they'll be excited to hear you. So is that something that, you know, like I said, that was 20, 25 years ago. Is that something that you're, I mean, the idea of it, have that energy before you start talking to someone?
I think so. And in this conversation, I'm actually walking around in my house.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? There's a way to, I think vitality is really at the heart of it. And jumping jacks are great. Being on the move, not locked down at a desk, and just being in your body. It takes a constant reminder in this culture of sort of living from the neck up to really move, breathe, be alive. I have a hospice choir here in town. This is one of my things I do for my service work, and I started it about 4 years ago, and we go out in small groups as volunteers and sing at the bedsides of people who are ill or dying or just having a bad day. And that's the most important work I do, and it really lets you know how precious a thing it is to be alive when you're watching someone in the last couple of days of their life.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, it's a great way to remember what's important, and also a great way to remember what a gift it is to be in a body and be alive and be able to connect with other human beings and move around and sing and dance and fall on your nose and get back up. It's all a great gift.
Yeah. Well, like you were saying too, you know, it's okay to not be perfect. So,
well, there's no choice, actually.
Yeah. But once you give into it, you're okay, you know?
It's great. It's great. I love that Leonard Cohen line. I put it in the book. There's a crack in everything. It's how the light gets in.
Oh, I love that.
Isn't that great?
That's lovely.
There's a crack in everything. It's how the light gets in. So the fact that I didn't have my voice makes my voice more precious to me. The places I think that many of us are wounded, I mean, the work you're doing about networking, it comes out of a broken place that got healed, and now you're generously sharing that. It's the same with me. It's the same with a lot of people I know, that they didn't come to their work because they sat down and took a test to check their aptitude. They actually went through the fire and came out the other side.
Yeah, the things that don't kill us make us stronger.
Exactly. That's right.
Well, I think I could totally talk about this for hours with you, and I'm sure that our listeners would get totally bored. But maybe not.
We won't do that to them.
But what I do want to know is the same thing that I ask all of my guests. If there was one thing that we as listeners and, if there's one thing that we could do to have our full voice and use our voice in the best way, what would that be?
Well, I'm going to say, like probably many of your guests, I'm going to give you two.
Okay.
The first one is just pay attention. You already use a lot of different voices in your everyday life. So just start noticing why your voice changes, when it changes, and how it changes. How does it feel? So I think paying attention is at the real heart of changing anything. Become more and more aware of your own voice as it is now. And then the second thing I would say, just to get used to using it in bigger ways, is to sing. Make a list of very diverse singers. Put it in your car. Put it on your iPad. And just sing your head off. And it will help open up a lot of color in your voice that you might not otherwise access as you're just talking on the phone or in that tiny little room in the great big mansion of your voice. So I think that singing will really just help bring a lot more life and variety to your voice.
So now this does lead me to one quick question. When you talk about a diverse group, singers, are you talking about people who are not even, I've never been professionally trained, of course, and I've taught myself how to sing. But at the same time, you hear people say, sing within your range. Are you talking about find people in all different ranges? Is that what you mean?
Well,
or different feelings?
It's an experiment. I'd say different colors, different ranges. Sometimes people sing so outside of your range that it actually hurts you to sing along with them, and I'd say don't do that.
Okay.
But just get Nora Jones and then get Bonnie Raitt and sing along with men with high voices or, any men. You can just sing up in the higher range.
Yeah.
But soft, airy, bright, everybody has these different colors in their playlists already.
Yeah.
And if you just do, a lot of times we listen to the same song over and over again or listen
right.
to the same artist who sounds like they're singing the same song over and over again.
Yes.
What I'm suggesting is that you have something light and airy, and then you have something bright, and then you have a big belter, and they have a kind of a go-to-hell song or a sassy song or
uh-huh.
a lament or a love ballad or something sexy.
Okay.
And, so just a lot of emotional color and a lot of different kinds of voices.
I think that's fascinating, and that makes a lot of sense to me as well. Okay, so this is a networking show. And Barbara, what would be a good referral for you?
Well, I seem to have a pretty good pipeline for people who individually want to come and work with me.
Mm-hmm.
That seems to be working well. What I'm most interested now in is working with groups of people who are already together for some reason. So a work group, a team, a book group. I've done this work at Wells Fargo and Blue Cross and Cargill. Leadership groups, things like that. So
mm-hmm.
that's where the growing edge of my practice. The individual stuff, I like it, but it's kind of taking care of itself. I'm more interested in the kind of the training.
Yeah.
Because, gosh, groups, you can do things in groups that you can't do one-on-one, and people can see each other be brilliant and brave and funny and
mm-hmm.
changes the relationships in some really lovely ways.
Yeah, no, that sounds really great, and I would love to be at one of those events when you are there. That would be fascinating.
Well, I will let you know.
Okay. And then how could, if we are listening and we think, I know the perfect place for Barbara to be, how could we get a hold of you? How could we reach you?
The easiest way is to go through my website, which is barbaramcafee.com. That's MCA1F2Es. And that would be a good way to get in touch with me about opportunities. Or I'd also really welcome any kind of questions or anything. So if people have now what did she say about that?
Mm-hmm.
I'd be happy to communicate with any of your listeners if they have questions or objections or comments or something. That'd be great.
Okay. And then you also mentioned fullvoice.net before. And what is that?
That is my blog site. And it has... musings on voice and things related. And then it also has
the exercises.
Those videos, practice videos. Okay. My book is also out, I should say, in an enhanced ebook format where the videos and a couple of songs, actually, audio, are built right in.
Oh.
And that's available. It's a, you know, it's a regular ebook as well, just for a Kindle or Nook. But for iPad and Nook Color, there's actually an enhanced version that has it all, has the videos embedded right in the text. Very, very cool.
Oh, I love that. That sounds really neat. I'm going to have to get that as soon as we're done here. That's, I want to put my best voice forward, you know? So.
Well, the technology came just at the right time for my book. I think it came out just the year before my book came out, and it was the only the second one my publisher created. And it's the perfect platform for this work.
No kidding. That sounds phenomenal, and I can't wait to see it. So very, very cool. Thank you so much for coming on today, Barbara. I have learned volumes, and in my mind, I still have questions and, you know, thoughts. And if I may, for you listeners, if you have any questions and you want to contact Barbara, she had mentioned those places that you can do that. But you can also go on to the Once to Mid Networker Facebook page and write your comment there. And Barbara, I'm sure, wouldn't mind, checking back once in a while and answering your questions. So
that would be great. Sorry, I didn't realize you had that resource.
No,
I
that's
think
okay.
That's a much better spot because then everybody can listen in on everybody else. So
yeah, no, that's
I'd
fantastic.
I'd love to do that.
Wonderful. Thank you very much for coming and for sharing so many things with us today, Barbara. I appreciate it.
And thanks for all that you're doing. It's great work.
Thank you. So for you listeners, listen to the things that Barbara said today. I'm so excited because I think there is so much to be said for not taking ourselves so seriously, for not having to be perfect. Your voice is your voice. And when you explore those five elements or those colors, that prism, the earth, the fire, the water, the metal, the air, when you explore those with yourself, I think there's going to be a lot of things that opens your eyes and a range that you'll be able to find that you maybe didn't know that you had before. So go to Barbara's site, fullvoice.net, and do those exercises and learn more about yourself so that then you can go to those events with confidence. You can talk to a person and be using your full voice, the voice that you want to use, the voice that gets heard. And then that way, you'll feel better about yourself, and it will definitely make a difference. Also, remember the things that Barbara said about paying attention. You know, notice how all of this feels. You know, notice why and what, all of those things. Notice that. And she also said sing. Sing in all those different colors. There's nothing wrong with having a theme song, you know, and have multiple. And I'm definitely setting out to do that as well. So listen to this again later when you can, because I think that there's so much in this program that you can apply to what you're doing that once you have that down, you could come back to this program, listen to it again, and find something else, a next thing to work on for yourself. So many things for us to be able to apply when we're networking when it comes to our voice. So thank you again for joining us today. We know that without you, our show is just two people sitting here talking, having a cup of tea, but we appreciate you being here. To stay current on what's happening with the Once to Mid Networker, you can find us on Facebook as well as on the website, theoncetomidnetworker.com. We hope that today's show has helped you to look at networking a little differently, and hopefully we've given you tools to be able to use your full voice and be heard. Thank you for listening, and I wish you a lovely rest of your day.
This has been a presentation of Next Stage Online Radio, the internet radio station for Next Stage Media Group. For more information on our business and lifestyle programs, go to nextstagemediagroup.com.